Okay. Hello, everyone. Good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening. My name is Charles, or Chaz, or Yazik, or the Bard, or the DM, or any number of things that you might know me. We are on our 69th of hopefully many episodes of Bard Advice, a D&D / TTRPG / nerdcore podcast, wherein I do my best to answer any questions that you might have. Speaking of questions, just a reminder at the top of the hour to send all questions, concerns, complaints, criticisms, queries, critiques to bardadvice@gmail.com. It also looks like bardadvice, if that helps you remember. Please send in questions. That is the fuel of the show, if I am the engine. If you want to get some merchandise, you can do so at manshorts.com. And if you'd like to contribute to anything that I'm doing musically, you can do so directly via PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo, all of which are Yazik, Y-A-H-Z-I-C-K. Also, just a quick reminder that, and we'll talk about them a little later as well, if you need some dice, you can get some at krakendice.com. We've got three sets available now, the Part Do dice, the Sarah set, and then the redo or the reproduction of the first set that we originally made a year or so ago. So go over to krakendice.com and get yourself some of those. Okay. I hope everybody's doing well. Happy Friday. It's good to see all of the people here in chat. Thank you for attending. Somebody probably dropped a Discord link. Yep, there it is. Thanks, River. So if you're interested in joining the Discord, please do so. And let's get into it. We've got some questions. Sorry, I'm definitely not watching the Pelicans-Kings game in the corner but to see how the NBA playoffs get set. But okay, so before we get into the questions, we do have some stuff that I wanted to discuss for Art Corner. So let's talk about that. For Art Corner this week, there are two things that I watched recently. The first of which I watched the entirety of the Baby Reindeer, which is a series on Netflix. That's another one where I'm interested to see what people's opinion is on that. My wife and I kind of burned through it. I was surprised that we just kind of watched it all in one sitting, because it is admittedly kind of a fascinating story. I'm not clear on how much of it is true. It's said that it's based on a true story, so it's pretty captivating, so I'd recommend checking that out. The other thing that we've been watching, and we're not completely finished with, I think we just finished episode 4, is the new Fallout series on Amazon Prime. I really like it, my wife really likes it. I was never really big into the Fallout games, admittedly. I was more of an Elder Scrolls guy. So I don't have too much experience with the Fallout world, but I'm aware of it and kind of familiar with it. And from what I've seen, I think it's a really good production of a show. And how true it is to the source material, I can't confirm. But close friends of mine have said that they've done the world justice. And I think a lot of that has to do with having more people on board that grew up playing and loving the game. And, you know, just like I think with the success of the production of the live-action One Piece, you know, you get people that I think showed production companies like, hey, if you get the people involved that are true to the source material, then you make good stuff. It's kind of like the first 5.5-6 seasons of Game of Thrones. All right. And then, so that's that. So Baby Reindeer and Fallout, I recommend highly both of those to check it out. I'm not sure as to what the sales are that are going on over at Kraken at the moment, but we've definitely got sets over there. And there's going to be another set that will be coming out in the probably closer to the summer. But we'll talk about that a little later because we have a question about that. So, did you make it in time? Yeah, of course. If you're here, you're not late. Okay, so sorry. I am interested in this basketball game because it'd be interesting to see how the NBA playoffs are fully set, because those are starting in like 2 days. Also, tomorrow is 420 for a subset of the Earth. That's a holiday of sorts. We're going to talk about some of that stuff as well. And likely what I'll end up doing is just going a little longer on this episode than usual, because there is a question at the end that is going to lead us into more of just kind of like a hangout period while we do said thing. So We'll talk about it. You'll see when we get there. All right, so the first question of the evening, according to the list of names, is from Felix. And Felix asks, "Hey Charles, I hope you are well. It was recently announced via SEC filing that Wizards of the Coast CEO Cynthia Williams has resigned from her position. Seeing as she was running things throughout the recent controversies, do you think her departure will change things for the better? Thanks." Thank you for the question, Felix. I had a feeling that somebody would ask about this week. And in fact, I saw people were talking about it in the Discord this week as well. So I wrote some notes on this because I really didn't want to just like yammer. So let me get my notes on it and I can just read through it and then we can talk about it freely. And feel free to put your thoughts about that in chat. Interested to hear everybody's opinion, of course. I said this. It's true that Cynthia Williams was at the helm during the OGL mess, the Pinkerton stuff, the layoffs. Obviously, we don't know all the ins and outs. And I'm even CEOs are ultimately beholden to the shareholders and boards and stuff. So we can't pin it all on her specifically. But we can definitely point out that she was the one in charge when all of that stuff happened. I do wonder if those layoffs burned the bridge with Larian. It seems that they've been partnering with tons of different companies with plans to make more games, video games. It's likely going to go to the lowest bidder in terms of production cost. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they came out with some sort of a freemium microtransaction app game thing. The 1D&D stuff is probably going to at least integrate, if not provide the full functionality of a VTT. And I think that Wizards of the Coast has made it clear that it's just another shark in a capitalistic ocean of greed and corporate interest. So I imagine it will continue to do so with or without Miss Williams. So those are my thoughts on that. See what people are saying in chat. Hope it changes things for the better, but I doubt it. The new Army Painter Fanatic Paint line comes out tomorrow. I never count on corporations to not ruin something. We're dealing with Hasbro. Not much chance of getting a fair deal. Oddly enough, the CEO of Hasbro is that guy that used to be the CEO of Wizards of the Coast. Promote from within, they say. Got home just as questions started, still on the phone. Have a prediction that the next CEO is going to try and absorb Buyout Paizo. Oh, for sure. In fact, I think we can count on a lot of that over the next couple of years is some of these people who are maybe producing games themselves, producing things independently as far as like modules or supplements, who Hasbro is just going to come along and be like, hey, this is a great idea. We'll just buy you out. And I don't know how much I could blame people for taking the payout, depending on what the scenario is, but the Matrix is recycling females with the surname of Williams. What does that mean? The Matrix. There is no spoon. Good opportunity to use her as a scapegoat for all the mistakes the whole board has been making lately. That's a really good point. Yeah. And that happens all the time, right? Where they're just like, oh man, woo, well, the CEO got out of there, but that's... It's like, we're not going to talk about all of the people that were, that have been there and are making millions of dollars off of this kind of stuff and what their vested interests are. I mean, the CEO has like probably shares and a salary. Hasbro might try to get in good with players and put the sacrificial lamb of crowd favorite. I'm actually really surprised that Critical Role is not more partnered up with them and that whole situation over there. With a new I guess they don't really need to. This is with their own thing. With a new edition coming out, sale will jump, so everyone will look like geniuses under new leadership. Yeah, which is kind of stupid, right? Because that's going to happen anyway, I think. And just also the nature of... funny enough, here's a story. I ran into Ethan the other day. Didn't really run into him as much as he just like came into my vape store. But Ethan, our forever DM, is currently running a game with a couple of people, including Jay and our buddy Kurt, and he was telling me that two of the people are brand new, maybe three. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, there still seems to be this draw of people more and more to the hobby. And so because Hasbro / Wizards is the head of that space, then we just kind of have to deal with whatever it is they're doing, and the new people that they'll just come in and be like, oh, well, what's the new thing to get? Plus, honestly, I think like once it's VTT and like VR and AR and stuff's going to get so cool so fast when it comes to AI integration, like, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't know how much people will care. And if they're already paying like money on Beyond or like some sort of subscription service with D&D, then it'll just be an easy transition into that world. Ding dong, the witch is gone. Thank you very much for the donation, Ricardo. Appreciated. Send out the Pinkertons. Next CEO needs a balance of understanding D&D game and culture tempered with business. Yeah, I also think, too, that it matters who you surround yourself with, because I imagine once you get up to that level, it's just people that are talking about money. And it's like, if you don't have a voice that's in there for the people, like we were saying earlier with why I think Fallout is so good, why I think One Piece was so good, is because you get these people that are directly involved. My buddy was praising the new Assassin's Creed Mirage. And I was thinking, yeah, well, because a lot of the developers in that room probably grew up playing the game. So they know what makes the game good and what things need to be changed or brought back. And that stuff matters. And if you can do it, why wouldn't you? It's really easy to just like get a nerd in the room. Have a nerd in the room. That should be the new slogan for Wizards of the Coast. And not just somebody that's like really good at algorithms and money, but like somebody that understands the heartbeat of the gaming community. Why be in charge of a company that you know nothing about? Well, you know, CEOs might be one of the first easily replaceable jobs with AI. Unfortunately, the resignation of the WotC Hasbro CEO won't change Larian's decisions regarding BG3. That's true, but I can't blame Larian for that. And you know what? They're doing their own thing. They've got their own ambitions to make their own stuff, but more power to them. I say that they should charge forward with that. Enjoy the days of sitting around the table IRL, seeing friends and using theater of the mind, but strapping on a VR headset and being immersed in a 3D world will be really amazing. Yeah. I agree. Of course there's value to like sitting down and doing theater of the mind. But if you could, why wouldn't you when it comes to that kind of immersion? If more CEOs followed Peter's Evil Overlord list, I'm not familiar with that. Is Melissa coming back to D&D? That I don't know. I can't unfortunately speak to that. But we will see. Maybe. I might be able to convince her to do something else. What's up? Cherish your in-person games. Yeah, for sure. Get a nerd in the room. Yeah. Put that on a t-shirt and send it to somebody at Wizards. It just seems like a good idea, especially with what's going on. And the D20 debates I don't know about either. Sorry, unfortunately, I don't have a strong enough understanding of kind of where we are right now with things as much as we're just kind of charging forward with stuff, so. Maybe we could talk about that at another time. I'm a little distracted, and I also am going a little bit over in time. But, hey, I'm going to be speaking a little bit later than usual anyway. So let's move on to the next question. Thank you for that, Felix. I think that was a good conversation, and it's good for people to put their opinions out there about it because we are the community that keeps these kind of companies afloat, right? Whether they're multi-billion dollars or not, it's like we're the ones buying the games. All right. So the next question we have this evening is from Stacy. Oh, and this is about dice, so we can speak briefly about this. Stacy asks, "Hi, Bard. I lost track of which dice set is up for sale now, and when will the last set get a turn?" Thank you for the question, Stacy. I did want to discuss that. So as I mentioned earlier, and if you weren't here, this is about dice over at KrakenDice.com. At the moment, there are 3 of 4 sets that are available for sale. The first one being the Man Shorts Dice Part 2. There's probably the least of those. Actually, there might be the least left of the Sarah Dice, because I know that a lot of people got those. The Sarah Dice are available now at KrakenDice.com, as well as the Man Shorts Dice Redo, or Redux. I don't even know how the real pronunciation of that should be, but that's the 3rd of 4. And it's basically a reprint. There's slight changes to it, but it's essentially a reprint of the original dice set that we released with Kraken a year or so ago. So those are the 3 that are currently available. The next set will be available. I've got actually a well-thought-out response to this as well. So at the moment, all three of those sets are available, Part 2, the Sarah set, and the Man Shorts redo. Kraken has informed me that the Florida Dice set has been delayed slightly. It looks like it won't be coming out until later this summer. I will say that I have seen the packaging for it, and I think it looks pretty awesome, and I'm going to be working with them likely over the next week or so in developing the cards for it, getting all that together while we await the packaging and stuff. I'm not exactly sure of what specifically the issue is, but, you know, these things happen, can't be helped. There's a lot going on in the world at the moment, so it's kind of understandable. And hey, it'll be kind of fun because it'll give people some time. I know that there's some people who have been kind enough to get all three sets. Obviously, it's, you know, I understand affordability is an issue currently, just in general on things. So that can give some people maybe a little time to like save and plan on getting those when they come out in the summer. And of course, once I get more hard dates on that, I'll let people know via the channel and social media and stuff. So the Florida set has been delayed because Florida. Yeah, that, you know, hey, because Florida, it's kind of a good excuse, really, when you think about it. It's just like, what happened, Florida? You know, that's how it be. So, yeah, that was a quick and easy question, but I'm glad that you brought it up because that is something that I wanted to discuss, because I know that it looked like we were going to be getting those out very soon. And we did get, to their credit, those first three sets are available. That fourth set's just been a little delayed, so look for that this summer. So thank you for the question, Stacy. The next question that we'll get into, because it is like 4:20 Eve, essentially. The next one is from Chris, and Chris asks, since it's not exactly legal where you are, this is purely a mental exercise. Yeah, everybody, this is a hypothetical. What would you indulge in, indica or sativa? Now, far be it from me to promote the violation of federal law. As far as legality goes, currently, cannabis is still federally illegal and a Schedule I drug. Medical cannabis is legal in my state. I have a card with the state. So my use of and possession of said green manna is not in violation of any laws. I'm an indica guy. I like to slow it down, calm it down. Sativa's okay, I guess, but I like riding in a low gear since my baseline is pretty anxious and panicky. Man, I saw this TikTok recently that really resonated with me, and I don't know if this resonates with anybody else, but I'm a passionate guy, and man, boy howdy, I can get upset and have moments that are not pretty just in how I react to certain things. And sometimes people are really taken aback by that if you've seen it, which is like, whoa. And the guy was saying, it's like, people always seem shocked by it. And it's like, that's where it is all the time in my head, right? I'm there always. So for me, if I were to have like an outburst of anger or just like being upset at something, that's where I live in my head all the time. It's very rare that it just like manifests, I guess, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's to say, I'm kind of an anxious, panicky guy just at a base level. And my mind is way too fast. Like, and that's not like a humble brag or anything, just like, that's how just my brain works. It's just very fast. I talk fast. I talk a lot. And it's just, that's kind of how my brain works and how my inner monologue is. It's just very like rapid. And so indica, slow it down. Go in the slow lane. And let me catch up with chat because I haven't been paying attention. Sorry about that. Proud card holder. You have your card in Pennsylvania. Yes, I agree, River. The fact that it's Schedule I is really insane, and just removing it from that would go wonders in the way of any kind of politician that wants to get votes. My friend who has Metastic has access to it in all Florida. Still illegal in your state. hybrid now, nothing is pure indica or sativa. Well, I prefer the ones that are marked indica. 70s and 80s. Yeah, I will say that, like, we've been getting a lot of stuff in the store that is old school, like it was in the 90s. Aren't we racing in intrusive thoughts? Just so wonderful. It's pretty fun. I would say you get used to it, I guess. Use it for sleep and constant back pain. Blue Dream. Yeah, that's a good one. Or pre-98 Bubba Kush. My girlfriend just got gummies. Apparently, THC is derived from hemp, which blurs the line. Yeah, it's probably THCA. And the trouble, you know, the thing with all that stuff is that there's no regulation on it. A lot of people don't realize, like, the federal regulation on Delta 9, which, by the way, the only federal regulation is on Delta 9, which is the main psychoactive ingredient in the plant. Even that regulation, even though it's on Schedule 1, that regulation is about weight. So we carry lots of products in the store that are within those parameters, right, of how much is legal. So, yeah, and I'm a vape person, just because I think that vape allows you to kind of maintain, as well as just, it's rare that I get too spacey with vaping, and I also think that it's a lot more efficient. I think concentrates are a little too much. There's too much going on, too, in the process. Like, I can't. How do I feel about the entire party getting stoned before D&D session? It depends. People are different, and people respond to it different as well. Like, I'm the type of person who needs to, if I'm doing something where I'm trying to focus, I really need to make sure that I'm not indulged too much. But then there are some people where you wouldn't know the difference. So I think it's just kind of like a person-by-person basis. But I think that it could lend itself to a fun time, especially if you, like, built whatever the scenario was around that idea. Like, maybe they've entered a town where they all kind of feel a little funny, and so then you play the session out that way. That could be fun. It's legal for both medicinal and recreational use in Connecticut, yeah. Yeah, there's so much more. There's so many more states now where it's legal, which is great. I mean, they allow us to buy Delta 8 here in Texas. When you try the other edibles with Delta 9, it got shut down when I saw. Yeah, yeah. And the Delta 8 is, you know, it's like diet weed. Because it sits next to Delta 9 chemically. It produces similar but not as potent effects. And more importantly, there's no federal regulation on Delta 8. At least not in terms of it being, like, illegal to sell. So as a result, that space has kind of exploded. Honestly, I'm hoping that within the next decade, it'll just be legal nationwide, and this will be remembered as a window in time. There might still be a small market for that kind of stuff once it's fully recreational, because you're going to have people that don't want to get, like, blitzed out of their mind. And I imagine once it becomes, like, fully, once capitalism is fully ingrained in it, I imagine that it's going to be, you know, you're going to be able to, they're going to come up with something that's just like, you're going to be able to put a drop on your tongue and just like you're in a different dimension or something. So legalized cultivation is the big step. Recreational in Virginia too. Really? That actually surprises me. My table rule is please do not indulge too much in play to contribute. I drink a few beers, take a few shots while playing. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I think as long as you don't get, you know, that was my problem with alcohol. That's why I had to stop drinking, is because I tend to get sloppy. I tend to not stop, so that's why I don't drink. So I think, like, self-awareness in that regard is good. Just, like, you know, as long as there's, like, an expectation that everybody understands and tries to meet, I think you're good. Can we get it federally legal just so you can use your debit card? Yeah. I will say that's been the most rewarding part about having a card, is just not feeling like a criminal all the time. Because I'm a rule follower, honestly, for the most part. That's actually something maybe I could have said last week when I got the question about what's something about you that would surprise people if they knew. I'm kind of a rule follower guy, and I like rule follower characters. And I get a lot of that from my mom because she's a lawyer. So it was always weird because it was like, oh, well, this thing, you know, it's illegal. And then there are also people who are, like, super against it morally in addition to, like, the legality. And so just having the card is nice, where it's just like, oh, yeah, I don't have to feel like I'm breaking some rule or something. Like, I'm legally entitled to this. So that's good. I think everybody should be legally entitled to it, that is. So long as they're of appropriate age, right? 21, that's what drinking is. Don't you play a chaotic neutral most of the time? Yeah, I am chaotic neutral. But I'm also, like, I also understand that we live in a society. And if we're going to live in a society, we got to have, like, some sort of a standard, you would hope. But I think that, like, as the internet has gotten us more and more connected, we're learning that more and more people either have very different codes of moral and like codes, morals, values, standards. Some don't have any. And then some, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, in my experience, a lot of people tend to throw those morals and values just onto a thing. You know, they'll attach themselves to like a religion or a political party or then something that allows them to not have to like work it out on their own head, right? Where they're just like, oh, I can get behind this club. Really any kind of like organizational like club. I'm very much on that. Wouldn't want to be a part of a club that would have me as a member. So sorry, I'm totally rambling. I forget where we were. Oh, we're talking about chaotic neutral. And yeah, being like a rule follower. So it's nice that I don't feel like a criminal when I'm just going to get my medicine. The legality of weed is a joke. Oh, the illegality. Yes, it is. And it's propaganda for sure. So, and we're going to talk about it a little more later too, because we have another question about it. But some of my players' most memorable sessions with me as DM were when we were blitzed out of our minds and the encounters took strange turns or escalated quickly out of control. Yeah, and I definitely remember those days too. Like in our 20s, we would all just kind of, because, you know, I feel like in your 20s, especially in your early 20s, you're kind of just hanging out and like drinking and doing drugs. So if you're doing that and then you're also gaming, it can lend itself to some really fun times. Just be safe, you know, just take care of yourself. My moral code is basically the same as Omar Litter's code. No kids, no elderly, and no one who isn't in the game. Interesting. We are our own club in this hobby. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. And you know what else, too, that's interesting about D&D is it's kind of like people that came in from different worlds, maybe. Because, like, I know people that play D&D whose introduction to D&D was magic. I know people whose introduction to D&D was, like, they were fans of video games, and then they just, like, think of how many people are going to be playing D&D or tabletop games in general because of Baldur's Gate 3. That, I think, is, like, the thing that we should tip our hat to Larian most about. It's like, yeah, of course they made a great game and like get all the awards and wear a suit of armor and that's cool. But like more importantly, they probably put a bigger spotlight on the tabletop world than anything in a really long time. Probably even more than the D&D movie. Actually, yeah, that's not even a debate. They've done more for it. So congrats on 69 episodes. Thank you. Yeah, I am kind of surprised that it's gone this far, but Mike Tyson ear gummies. No, I haven't. I have a this is not a video game talk with everyone that comes to my table. Yeah, for sure. It's important to understand that. Different mechanics. We're in a different place. Okay, so moving forward. Thank you for the question, Chris. And that took us down a fun little detour of conversation. This is, I'm really excited about this question. This is from Amanda. So let's talk about this. Amanda asks, hey, Bard, how have you been? Good. Saw this question and wanted to get yours and chat's take on it. If you had to build a team picking... Okay, hold on. If you had to build a team picking someone from each category, who would you choose from each? What class would they be and why? Marvel character, DC character, anime character, Star Wars character, video game character. Looking forward to see what you and chat pick. Oh, man. Okay, so chat, think about it. Try and get something together and put it in the chat. In the meantime, we're going to talk about mine. I had a lot of fun building this crew. So let's get into it. Where are my notes? Because I want to make sure that I have the info on their classes as well. Alrighty, so Spider-Man, rogue slash barbarian, likely could use him as the mouthpiece of the group in a lot of ways. So that's my Marvel character, Spider-Man, rogue barbarian. Gotta do soups for my DC character. I've always been a really big Superman fan. And he's your fighter warlock, obviously with his super speed and superhuman strength. He can do what he needs to in terms of tanking and damage. And he's also got stuff like laser eyes and heat breath and cold breath. And so he can do ranged attack stuff too. Plus he can fly, which is like super dope. Great utility. My anime character is Tony Chopper. He's our healer. And he also kind of doubles as a druid in a way. And how could you not love Chopper? He's just the best. My Star Wars character is going to be 3PO for sure. I mean, dude knows over 6 million languages. That'd be helpful. Warforged Artificer. Yes. He can store all of the data. And he can also be really helpful when it comes to diplomacy. Because, I don't know, people tend to trust androids more because they don't really have, like, souls or whatever. So, yeah. Plus, he's like a protocol droid. So he's just like, yeah, he's just there to serve. That's very helpful. And then for my video game character, I went Zelda. Wizard, sorcerer, a little bit of paladin in there, maybe. And she can also help with heals if need be. But I think between those five, that's where I'm at. So we've got Zelda, 3PO, Chopper, Superman, Spider-Man. And that's how we're going with those. Oh, man, that was fun. And it happened. I went through it too fast. All right, let's see what people are saying in chat. Rogue Monk. Yeah, is that what I said? No, I said Barbarian. I think I had Monk originally and changed it to Barbarian because I just forgot about how strong Spider-Man is. All right. Let's see where we are with this stuff. Superman Fighter Warlock. Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad to remove bad dealers by legalizing it. Moon Knight, Batman, Sung Jin Woo, Mace Windu, and Navlon from DS2. Batman is definitely a rogue. Master Yoda. Oh, yeah. Chopper can do a berserker tank if needed. Oh, yeah. That's true. That is true. He can go like full druid tank. So, Marvel Hulk, Fighter, DC, Swamp Thing, Cleric, Anime, Princess Miu, Assassin. I wonder how Spider-Man and Zelda would get along. I don't know. Is there a Fallout TTRPG? I don't know, actually. Probably. I'm sure somebody in here knows, too. Is there, chat? What game has Zelda as an adventurer? In my 40s and quit playing past A Link to the Past. Well, she does, I guess, in other iterations of the... In the Tears of the Kingdom, isn't her being an adventurer, like, the whole plot line is like... Doctor Strange, Batman, Jinx, Yoda, Asterion... If not, there will be. Fallout is interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like, I think of, like, these nerd-centric type things that bring people in. Right? So you could have somebody that never heard of Fallout before and then sees Fallout and then they get into gaming and then they discover that there's, like, these... I don't know if there's an official one for Fallout, but I know that there's, like, a lot of apocalyptic TTRPGs. Like, you could easily run, like... A D20 modern campaign is like an apocalyptic type campaign. The apocalypse is really hot right now. I don't know if anybody's noticed when it comes to content. So just give you R2-D2 in there somewhere. All right, word. DC, Dr. Manhattan, Wizard, Anime, Mashal, Fighter, Monk. Oh, that's... Justin would appreciate that. My buddy Justin's into that anime. Marvel, Tony Stark, Warlock, Star Wars, Chewie, Ranger. All right, Pirates got it. Marvel Ghost Rider class Paladin, ex-Paladin. DC Green Arrow class Ranger. Star Wars Han Solo class Rogue. Anime Baymax class Cleric. Video game character Donkey Kong class Barbarian. Nice. That'd be fun. Storm as a Storm-based Druid. Storm would be cool. I'd forgotten about Storm. And you know who else I really like from the X-Men is... Well, my favorite X-Men is Cyclops. And I'm kind of surprised that I didn't say him. I probably would have, but I think Spider-Man offers a little more utility. Plus, Spider-Man is the only one of that group that can really do any kind of rogue stuff. So, yeah, that's why I ended up with him instead of Cyclops. But I also really like Gambit and Rogue. Captain Paladin. Oh, hold on, wait a second. Doctor Strange, Batman, Noelle from Genshin, Isato from Wrong Way to Use Healing, Revan. Captain Paladin, Superman Paladin, Speedy Cravache, Tabaxi Samurai, Final Fantasy VI, Setzer, Rogue, Obi-Wan, Space Wizard. If you're going to pick Princess Zelda for your party, I'd go with her alter ego, Sheik. No way, dude. Zelda has all the spells. And listen, I will trash people in Super Smash Bros. Brawl with Zelda. I'll do it in Melee. I'm good with Zelda. Her side B is ridiculous. And if you can get the dude in Melee, if you can get her big kick hitbox, it's over. It's done. You like Supes and Cyclops? What do you mean? What are you talking about? Those, listen, Superman and Cyclops are what heroes are supposed to be. They're supposed to be better than, like, the rest of us. You know what I mean? Like, from a moral standpoint. For anyone who hasn't seen Mashal Magic and Muscles, it's Harry Potter, but main character uses muscles because he can't use magic. Yeah, it's a really good anime. You should check that out, by the way, if anybody's interested. It's good. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen all of the relevant stuff. Spider-Man would be multi-classed into Bard. He's perfect for Vicious Mockery. Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. He would have at least one level in Bard. Moon Knight, X-Fighter, Batman, Rogue Fighter, Mace Windu... Oh, excuse me. Moon Knight, Eldritch Knight Fighter, Batman, Rogue Fighter, Mace Windu, Kensai Monk, Sanju Win, Necromancer, and Nalvan, Evil, Aligned Divine Soul Sorcerer. Another... Hell yeah, dude. Yes. Love Zelda. Batman, Rogue, Professor X, Paladin, Mario, Bard, Han Solo Fighter. Mario would be fun. Yeah, I love Cyclops. Cyclops is the man. They're the blandest examples. I disagree. I don't know. I really don't know the answer. Maybe it was because, like, I read Superman and my first, you know, the X-Men comics that I read as a kid were in my grandma's attic, the Uncanny X-Men. And those were, you know, that was when Cyclops was the man. My Cyclops isn't your Cyclops. Because there are some people whose first introduction to Cyclops was, like, in the 90s cartoon, or there are some people whose first introduction to Cyclops was in, like, the live-action movies in the 2000s. So, you know, pretty much since Wolverine's been a character, Cyclops has been put in the back seat in terms of just like, well, okay, well, Wolverine's the fan favorite. Let's just make him look cooler by making Cyclops look like a goober in comparison. You'd have to go with Nightcrawler, because your first name's Kurt, and actually directed... related to Wagner's. Nightcrawler is a cool X-Men. That'd be a really helpful power in a D&D party. Not a huge fan of Cyclops and Superman for the same reason. They both feel like goody two-shoes. Yeah, but goody two-shoes... See, for me, that's what I want in my heroes, is a goody two-shoes. Like, a character from My Hero Academia, Ida, comes to mind. I like those guys because they're like, you know, I was never into Batman that much. I'll just be honest. You know, the Tim Burton movies are good, but that's because they're Tim Burton movies. Not necessarily because they're Batman. And The Dark Knight, I think, is a great film, but a large portion of that is Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker. So I've never really been that into Batman. It's just like, what happened? A rich guy had some trauma, and then so he spent all of his money to turn himself into a hero. Whereas, like, Superman, just by product of birth, is just like, he wasn't even super from where he was from. The only reason he's super is because of Earth's yellow sun. And it was because his whole planet was destroyed. People are like, oh man, Bruce Wayne lost his parents. It's like, dude, Superman's the only person left in his whole species. He's like Doctor Who. How is that not? I don't know. I just think it's cool. Just wanted to be cool like Gambit. Yeah, I was a Gambit fan too. Didn't Jay say in Halloween episode about Cyclops being pushed aside for the cat-based character? Yeah. Yeah, that's why I wrote that joke, because I'm a Cyclops fan. I'm sure that I put that in there on purpose. Then The Matrix came out, kind of undermined by the fact that Kryptonians can't have kids with humans. Batman is the GOAT, favorite character, collects so much Batman stuff. Yeah, and you know what's weird is, like, everybody my whole life that I've known has been, like, super into Batman. And has always been like, why are you into Superman? I've only, over the course of my life, run into, like, a handful of people who are like, yeah, dude, Supes is... Um, Yeah, I suppose that's true, River. But I mean, I would rather have the knowledge that I didn't get to meet my parents, or that, you know, I lost my parents, and you know, all the money of a small country, versus like, hey, you're the only thing like you in existence in this place. Because I know what it's like to feel alienated that way, and being like, oh no, you know, that Wayne inheritance could afford a lot of therapy. But with Superman, it was just like, oh yeah, all of your people are dead, and also everybody expects you to use these powers that you didn't ask for to save them all the time. Whereas like with Batman, I don't think people expect Batman to do what he does. That's kind of the deal. He's almost an anti-hero in that way. He's like the Punisher. It's just like, hey, nobody really asked for this. Maybe the Commissioner Gordon, but like... Batman the Animated Series is classic. Also consider Batman as a regular guy in a suit fighting guys like Mr. Freeze. Wonder Woman should be from the same planet. Batman's villains are what makes him interesting. Agreed, yeah. And listen, I'm not saying that Batman is like a bad story. Just for me, in comparison, I've always preferred the lore of Superman. It's just a personal opinion. I don't want to, like, you know, yuck anyone's yum, as they say. I've always been a Superman fan. Nice. You're in a life or death situation. Who you want coming to save you? An alien or Bruce Wayne in a suit? An alien. Because that's like saying, like, would I rather be saved by an alien or like Elon Musk? I mean, granted, I don't know anything about what the alien would do and what the alien's motives are, but I already know what that guy's doing on the planet. So yeah, I'd totally rather an alien. What if Batman had a villain show up to Gotham and his weapon was a baseball bat and his name was Batman? Now we're asking the real questions. Batman and Punisher are basically two sides of the same coin. Yeah, I think so. I agree. Yeah, well, that's true. I'm still choosing Batman, but Iron Man is one of my favorite Marvel heroes. Yeah, and then I also think, like, when I used to play Marvel versus Capcom 2, I think I used Hulk, Spider-Man, and Iron Man. I think those were my three. So, okay, we've got some more questions. We've gotten distracted here. So thank you for the question, Amanda, sending us down that road. That was a fun conversation. Got me all riled up about Superman. All right, we've got three more questions. So the next question is from Mark. And Mark asks, hi, Chaz. Yesterday, I read an article about a peer-reviewed journal that published an academic study about Dungeons & Dragons. Study participants experienced significant increases in self-esteem and self-efficacy, as well as significant declines in stress, anxiety, and depression. What are your thoughts on this? Well, thank you for the question, Mark. I did see something about that, actually, on TikTok, oddly enough, and then followed it up, and I probably read the same article that you did. But yes, so I did see this. I think it's pretty awesome. Obviously, this is a small sample size, right? But I think it's promising data. And it makes sense, certainly to any of us, right? Because we're already here. We all know that this hobby does these things. But it's nice to see that it's kind of presented in a scientific way of like, hey, look, we actually did the research and it turns out it's true. So I think it makes sense that those things happen, because with D&D, or really any kind of like role-playing game, any kind of like team-based or like community-based game, not only are you given the opportunity to experience and living out a character with far fewer restrictions than real life, but it's also a great social exercise. And in my experience, it's not to say all, because I know plenty of people who are very communicative and able to they're very socially adept. Somebody like Jay comes to mind, but in my experience, most people aren't very good at communicating, or at least like appearing to be able to communicate. I think a lot of people find it difficult to talk to other people particularly strangers. I think that that's a common thing. And I think that it's my ability to do it is kind of unique because it's just kind of, I don't know. That's just something that I've always been able to kind of do. But D&D helps with that because it kind of puts you in a situation where you're kind of forced to talk and engage and make decisions. And what's great is that unlike in real life, there aren't really any real repercussions. Like the worst thing that's going to happen is your character's going to die. And most D&D players will tell you that those lend themselves to like really epic, funny stories. But yeah, there's less worry about consequence. Cause like if you're worried about a social interaction where you're having to go and talk to somebody about something, then there's real life repercussions to that. It's understandable that that's a difficult thing to deal with. When you just go play D&D, it's like that gives you the opportunity to have those kind of social interactions with less repercussions, if that makes sense. So what do we see what people are saying? Been a major advocate of TTRPGs as a source of occupational therapy. When you don't have to think about real life, suddenly you get less depressed. Who would have guessed? Yeah, that's true. It's escape. It's an escape. Escapism leads happiness. Yeah. You mean the Tom Hanks D&D movie isn't accurate? Wait, what? Yeah, you mean the propaganda is a lie? You mean it's not devil worshiping? Makes total sense to me. For some people, D&D is basically group therapy. You're presented with challenges that you overcome with a group of friends, creatively expressing yourself in a variety of situations where your chances of success are far higher than in real life. That's a succinct way of putting it. Part of the reason I love grim, dark themed games is because it allows my players to confront their shadow and past traumas. Who wouldn't feel better about themselves? Your campaign is oddly union in nature, really. I think it forced you to work with others and formulate plans and implement those strategies, which is a positive thing in the real world. Most definitely. I've always seen D&D as essentially storytelling with dice and a game added to it. When you look at it that way, it's one of the oldest forms of entertainment in the world. Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure people have done this kind of stuff for centuries where it was just called a different thing or under a different name. And, you know, D&D gave us like the rule books, as it were, but I think that most of us can agree that I don't think most people play raw. Certainly not strictly so. I'm sure that like if polled, see, maybe we should make like some sort of a documentary or do some. It's good to see that article that I read, I forget the name of the journal, sadly, I should have written it down, but from what I saw, that journal that published that study is the first journal of its kind that's dedicated to the study of games as far as like behaviorism. And it makes me, I don't know if it's just board and like tabletop games or if it's inclusive of video games. I think it's just tabletop and board games. But I think that's great. And I hope to see more of those studies. I hope they do more. That'd be really cool to see like what the real data is when it comes to what the benefits are of the game. And also on a note, other than just like reducing anxiety, stress, and depression, right? Because those are, I think, the big ones and probably the ones that we all notice the most. But also noting the increase in self-esteem and self-efficacy, like your ability to do stuff, which I think is really important. And I don't think that most people get a whole lot of opportunity to do that stuff. Everybody's different. It depends on what your upbringing was when it comes to like education. I was very, very fortunate in middle school to go to a private school down south where there were only 16 kids in the whole school. And that did wonders for me, I think, in those kind of group projects because we were the school. You know what I mean? There weren't like cliques like there you typically find in most schools where there's like lots and lots of kids where, you know, by nature, humans kind of group up. With us in that small 16 kid school, we were just the school. So there, I don't know. It's just that was a good experience for me in that. And I think that D&D can offer that experience to people who may have not had that before, because I think that's important. So, in a world with no heroes and the world itself is basically rotting behind an illusion, it forces my players to confront a lot of negative things with themselves and within the environment. Nice. Playing pretend with your friends, but well-established rules and agreed-upon setting. It's like Monopoly. We all follow the Just, but the house rules make it better. Most definitely. And Uno, too, is that way, right? Nobody plays Uno the way you're supposed to play Uno. Maybe, yeah. I think that there's been some D&D documentaries, but I wonder if we could maybe approach it from a different angle. You could theoretically put D&D on your resume. Met for weekly group strategy sessions to develop problem-solving skills and to solve puzzles while studying the probabilities of success and failure. Yeah, and you know, D&D one-shots might be something that could be done as like corporate exercises. You know, if you want to get your, if you want to have your team, your work team be more efficient and more effective working together as a team, put them in a one-shot. Just like do that and pay them. You'd have to pay them, corporations that are out there listening, thinking, oh, hey, yeah, let's do this. You got to pay them for their time. You can't just like have them do it for free, but... I think it's a hell of a team building exercise. Okay, so let's move on. We've got technically two more questions, but we're going a little long this evening because it's kind of a sort of a special episode. But the next question on the list of names says is from Leo. And Leo asks, happy 420 to the coolest DM around. Well, thank you. That's nice. Speaking of which, I'm sure you know that Florida has recreational cannabis on the ballot this year. Do you think it will pass? And if so, do you think it will be a good thing? Thanks for the pod. Have a chill day. Well, thank you very much, Leo, for the question. One moment, I'm just grabbing some water. Excuse me. So, I hope you have a chill day as well, Leo. Appreciate the question. Yes, indeed, recreational cannabis is on the ballot this year for Florida. We're gonna see. Okay? I'm hesitant to get my hopes up for a lot of reasons. For one, Florida's a pretty old state. It's a pretty red state. And more importantly than either of those, our state is one where our bills have to pass by 60% or more, right? So we can't just pass like half. It's got to be 60% or more. It took us 3 times to pass medical. Understand. Like, I think a lot of people are probably like, well, you know, most people support it. And it's like, keep in mind, it took us 3 separate elections to get medicinal. And when it passed, it still only was like 71%. It's not like a thing that would be like 90%. Yes, Pirate, that's a good point. I was going to mention that. Our governor is vocally against it. Super, super against it. So I think that there are a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people in this state support that guy. And they listen to him. So that, I think, is a hurdle. I will say that the state stand to make a lot of money, I think, when it comes to like licensing and just like taxing. Pretty much every state where it has been recreationalized, they seem to be making profits. I know Colorado made so much money, they were like sending their people refund checks, which is just craziness. I've never heard of such a thing. I think people do have some concerns about, you know, out-of-state corporations swooping in and stealing a market share. I think that you could easily be done. I think you could easily, like, write into the law where you have, like, limited numbers of licenses, giving Florida companies first bid at applying for said licenses. But, if he wants to be reelected, he won't veto it. I don't know. I think that he's a more liked guy than people realize. I think a lot of people think like, oh man, how did that guy get into being the governor? And it's like, well, he did it by getting 1 million more votes than the other person. So, you know, I certainly didn't vote for the guy. I don't like him, but I don't speak for everybody in the state. And this is what I'm saying. Like, when it comes time to vote for these things, people that I know personally are going to be voting against the legalization of cannabis. They're going to vote against codifying or codifying the, you know, abortion rights and stuff. And that's just the reality. So for me, I'm hesitant to like get excited. Obviously, I think that it should be legalized. Obviously, I'm going to vote for it to be recreationally legalized, but we're going to see. I think that it would be short-sighted of people to get really excited because, you know, people have been saying like, oh man, did you see it's on the ballot? And it's like, yeah, I don't know if that means what you think it means. Like, because what's going to happen is it's going to get like 56% of the vote or something. And it's going to be like, well, sorry, gang, didn't get that 60%. Funny anecdote about that law, the vote, the law that says that our bills have to pass with 60% of the vote, that law that says we have to do that didn't pass by 60%. And people would argue like, well, they hadn't changed the law yet, but it's like, yeah, but wouldn't it seem like if you were making a rule that said we have to have 60% of the vote to agree on something, you could 60% of the people could agree to that? I don't know. It seems silly. What's going on here? I'm going to make a video talking on my channel. Ontario found a way to lose money with the previous government established, legalized it. We're making money now under a better government. Huh. Man, that seems impossible that you would lose money on that thing. Let's see. Texas, I don't know if it would even pass recreationally ever. People are just so against it here. Yeah. And, you know, that's a reality of things. It's like people are against it. People are against it legally. People are against it morally. People think that if you do it, you're a bad person. And everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets a voice. At least that's how I see it. You know, I think that that's how it should be. So we're going to see when the votes are cast. We'll see how it goes. Sure, the population of Florida tends to be an older generation, but don't forget that generation is starting to pass on as that happens more and more. Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that it's just an age thing, right? Like, it's also a party thing. Like, I don't know. I could probably name on one hand the people that I know that identify as Republican that support legalization. You know, a lot of my liberal friends do, but some of them even don't. I have liberal friends that even are against it. So it's not even a party thing either, you know? I think that it's just like there are people that are about it, and there are people that think that it's that it's Satan. And I can't do anything about the latter. I can only speak to the former. So, oddly enough, I did look up on my calendars this afternoon just out of curiosity when 420 and Friday will actually collide, and it won't happen, I think, until 2029. So if we're still doing the podcast in 5 years' time, we'll be able to do it on the day. But for this year, we're just doing it as sort of like a pregame. You know, we're only like a half an hour away for anybody that's staying up to celebrate. I just kind of stay in a perpetual state. I tell people I don't get high, I maintain. But that's just how it be, you know? I like to just kind of ride around at about a 6.5, 7. Just kind of live there. And I agree, Pirate, that was kind of my plan. Hopefully it will be legal. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so before we get out of here, let's remind everybody of a couple of things. Remind everyone of the email, which is bardadvice@gmail.com. It also looks like bardadvice. Please send all your questions, curiosities, criticisms, critiques. If you have stories about stuff you've done, if you have ideas for characters, maybe we can do more character building on here every now and then. That'd be really fun. That was a fun exercise tonight. So please send all of those things to bardadvice@gmail.com. If you want to go get some merchandise, you can do so at manshorts.com. And if you want to contribute to anything that I'm doing musically, you can do so directly via PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo, all of which are Yazzick, Yahzick. If you want to get some dice, please head over to krakendice.com and do so. The 3 sets are currently available this summer, probably June, maybe July. The 4th set will be made available, the Florida Man set, and that one's going to be really fun. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. What else do we have here? I can't believe we're already at the end. These things do go by quickly, even with the extended time this episode went by quickly, seemingly. So I hope that everybody has a fantastic weekend. We will be back here next week, same bar time, same bar channel. Yes, thank you for the reminder, Amanda. Please, everybody, subscribe, hit the bell, share the podcast. You know, I don't know if I did at the beginning of this episode. I don't think I did, but I should now, just to thank all of our members, patrons, super chatters. Remind everybody to please, as I just did, as Amanda just reminded me, please like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate the podcast on your respective platforms. We will be back here next week, same bar time, same bar channel. The audio for this podcast will be made available tomorrow at 12 p.m. noon Eastern Standard Time. I hope that everybody has a fantastic weekend and an even better week, and we will see you next time.